Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Pedro is going to join us today. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst and insider. He has been on the disabled list to start out the season. Eric, the DL story with Pedro, is it something that I need to go in depth on? It was personal, right?
I don't really know everything.
Yeah.
But it was concerning, and I don't want to even really get into it. I'm just going to let him tell it because I don't know all the backstory and I don't know all the details.
It had to do with his heart, though. We know that much.
And it was pretty serious.
Okay. So, and Pedro has not been on the air. I mean, we saw Pedro during spring training a few times.
Yeah, he has been vacant from ESPN. He's been pretty distant on social media.
He's been silent on social. Yeah.
He's just been, like you said, on the disabled list, but he has been activated. So.
He's been activated. That means he's been cleared. That means that hopefully everything is good. And so we're going to talk with Pedro this morning, and I'm going to talk to him about that. You're okay with this?
I am. Yep. Okay. All right. Yep. I asked him if he was okay discussing his health issues, and he said that's fine.
So. That's perfect. It's perfect. So we look forward to having Pedro with us. Tim Nolan talked to the Lopes today at 11 o'clock. So Tim Nolan is the women's volleyball coach over at GCU, and every week we talk GCU athletics on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. We love Talk to the Lopes in the segment as we have a partnership with GCU. Edwin is in today. Edwin looks, we have an Edwin cam. Edwin, we might even flip Eric and Edwin just so you can see Edwin today because he's looking svelte. He looks great, looks solid. Let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now protect what matters most, and that means life insurance, guys. If you've not taken care of your life insurance, if you've never even thought about it, if something were to happen to you today or tomorrow, would those that you love and care about be protected? That's what life insurance is about. You can log on to sagicornow.com and get a free quote. Do so online at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Pedro Gomez in about 10 minutes. Yesterday was a really busy day with the Diamondbacks. I didn't make it. I'm a loser on this regard. Eric, did you get through the game last night? I did not get to the meat of the matter last night with the Diamondbacks. It was the ninth inning. It was a close game. The bullpen was not very good. Goldschmidt hits a home run, and that was right about the time I just kind of crashed and burned. So I missed the Goldschmidt. Did you see Goldschmidt's home run?
I did not. I watched most of the beginning of the game when Patrick Corbin looked like the second coming of Cy Young again. And then
the sixth inning, he didn't look like
he
Patrick.
Did not.
He did.
Yeah.
He looked like Patrick Corbin.
Yeah,
he
I was actually like working out watching the game, and then by the time I drove back to the house, the Diamondbacks had lost the lead. So
yeah, all I saw were a lot of walks, and I didn't see anything of substance really out of the Giants bats. And then Andrew McCutchen hit the walk off for them last night, base hit. So.
Still a chance to win the series today. They got a day game. So
hey, split on the road. Their road trip's already been a success.
If you
look at it, you know that
they won the St. Louis series. If they win today, they'll win the Giants series. And if you win two out of three, you're probably going to go to the playoffs.
That's it. All right. Torey Lovello was suspended from last night's game. When we last left you yesterday, we were not surprised. Well, actually, we were surprised nothing had happened. We're not surprised that he was suspended. And so it's over with, it's done, and he moves on. I guess I was a little surprised that Yadier Molina would get suspended. Now, the hometowners would want me to say, how can you? Look, I said this yesterday and the day before on the part of Lovello, and that is, I'm not a lip reader. I'm not Vin Scully. That's bull pucky, he said. I felt as though I wanted to hear what the umpire had to say in this. I'm sure in the report that he gave it, because essentially it was he said, she said, or he said, he said. So Yadier gets suspended for a game two. Why? Because the bench is cleared, because Molina jumped up and out and got into the face of Lovello when he heard the MF phrase used. So they both get a game, and we're all over and done with, and it's the big dust up of the week. As Eric said, they go today with Robbie Ray pitching. Forbes came out with the valuation today of baseball franchises. I find this really interesting, and I'll get to the Suns in a minute, because Robert, as I've pointed out on this show many, many times, is just making gobs of money and putting a product out that never, ever wins. It's funny how that works. If I do a show every day that is not good at all, but I'm tripling my investment, I figured it out. Robert's figured it out. I own a sports franchise that stinks, but man, am I making my partner's money. Let me in on that. So the number one value on this Forbes Business of Baseball list that came out today is the Yankees. We're not surprised by this. The Yankees are valued, their revenue actually was $619 million last year. The operating income of the Yankees, to run the ship for the Yankees as a business, $14 million. They had $619 million in revenue. Oh my gosh. Zero debt. Current valuation of the Yankees is $4 billion. $4 billion. So where are the Diamondbacks in this list? Well, I'll just run through a couple of these just so you know. Yankees are one at $4 billion. Dodgers are two at $3.8 billion. The Cubs are third at $2.9 billion. The Giants are at $2.85 million, and the Red Sox $2.8 million. So that's the top five. We're not surprised by this, right? Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, Giants, Red Sox. Where are the Diamondbacks in this? Well, you scroll down, and the Diamondbacks come in at number 20. Number 20, and that seems about right. Although, I'll have to tell you, I was surprised that the valuation, even though they have them about the same, the valuation of the Pittsburgh Pirates is the Pirates are a more valuable franchise than the Diamondbacks. Forbes has the Pirates at number 18, valued at $1.26 billion. They have the Diamondbacks at number 20 at $1.21 billion. Could it be the stadium has something to do with the situation out here in Arizona and the value of the franchise? I don't know. I'm simply wondering out loud. From a standpoint of revenue with the Diamondbacks, Diamondbacks at $258 million in revenue. 12% increase year to year. Behind the Diamondbacks are some franchises that you wouldn't expect to be behind the Diamondbacks in terms of the value of the franchise. Again, the Yankees are at $4 billion, the Diamondbacks at $1.2 billion. Essentially, the Diamondbacks and Suns are about the same from Forbes' list, which I find interesting. But Baltimore is behind the Diamondbacks. I would have felt Baltimore, Camden Yards, everything in that area. The Twins are behind them. New stadium in Minnesota. The Diamondbacks are a more valuable piece of property than the Minnesota Twins. It's like Park Place versus Genesee Avenue, I guess, on the boardwalk game. The Colorado Rockies are at 23rd. The Cleveland Indians are below the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are more valuable than the Cleveland Indians. I think the Indians is a very good franchise on the field. Some of these at the bottom, you just know. Milwaukee, you know, Oakland, you'd figure, Kansas City, you'd figure, Cincinnati, you'd figure. And the bottom two are the Marlins. And Tampa Bay is the least valued, not even at $1 billion. The Rays are worth $900 million. Essentially about half of what Bryce Harper is going to get paid, about half of what the Marlins or Rays are worth as a franchise. It's coming off season. He's going to get about $450 million. And from that, I bring this up because if you're looking at the business and what the Diamondbacks are trying to get accomplished, and they're off to a really good start, they're off to a clean start. I've talked with some fans that were down at the ballpark for the opening weekend, and these are fans that have been there since day number one. And these are fans whose opinions I trust and respect. And they've said that the ballpark is starting to show its age. I feel as though that some of that is because in our business, we are continually bringing up stories about how the building is below standard. From the Diamondbacks' point of view, there's improvements that need to be made. But there are people that that are noticing that the ballpark is not what it once was, the clean, fresh look. And so when the Diamondbacks are sitting in their board meeting today, in their executive meetings today, they're going to see this. I mean, they're going to talk about, yeah, we won last night, and Torrey shouldn't have said that. But more importantly to Ken Kendrick is the value of the team, and to Derek Hall and to those that are around him. You want to have this thing move up a little bit higher, I think. Like, why is it San Diego is a more valuable property than the Diamondbacks? Is it just because you're along the coast? Why is it the Pirates? That one's the one that surprises me. We have a couple quarterback news items in college football I'm going to get to later in the show today. One of them involves Shea Patterson in the University of Michigan and more of a case study nationally. The other is Brandon Dawkins, who left the U of A. He has found a landing spot. The best story of the day is Andre Ingram. You have not heard of Andre Ingram. If you go Google Andre Ingram, you will know why it's the best story of the day, why it's something you should be talking about at your business lunches or throughout the day. Just go see his story. It will motivate you. We'll have that. But up next, Pedro Gomez. Off the disabled list, I say that jokingly, but we've been worried about him a little bit. We'll get into Pedro's situation after this timeout, plus the Diamondbacks. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Pedro Gomez joins us now, ESPN insider, baseball galore when you talk with Pedro. But today we're going to start out on a different note because you've been on the disabled list. And Eric informed me of this a couple of weeks ago, and rather than send you the text of thoughts and prayers, which I'm sure many people did, just know that there were thoughts and prayers. What happened? What is going on? I'll get to the Diamondbacks and all the baseball stuff in a minute. It's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear you laughing, but this was no laughing matter, right?
No. I was actually hospitalized for 5 days, Brad. And I've never been hospitalized in my life. So it was a little bit scary. It's called atrial fibrillation, which is AFib. And my heart just, the upper chamber wasn't working in sync with the lower chamber. So even at rest, my heartbeat was going 155 beats per minute. Mm. And that's quite a bit higher than it should have been, which is about 60-ish. But thankfully, everything has, gotten back to normal and I just was cleared to return to work today. Good. So I don't know what my first assignment is yet, but, it's just good to be feeling normal again. And, I appreciate, you and Eric, you know, just being there.
Yeah, no worries for sure. When did you first know that something wasn't right? What were the signals and the signs?
You know, I had had like this, I wish I'd acted earlier. I'd had kind of a persistent cough for a few months, but I thought, it's just, you know, winter, just power through it. And then about 2.5-3 weeks ago, I just wasn't feeling right. Mm-hmm. And I took myself to just my primary physician and, they always put the stethoscope on your heart. They did an EKG right there in the office. And they came back and said, you have to go to the hospital. I was like, okay. And they're like, no, you have to go to the hospital right now.
Wow.
Right this moment. So at that point, I was admitted and stayed there 5 days. And it's a lot of shortness of breath. And when I say shortness of breath, I mean really shortness of breath. I was never in pain. It was just complete discomfort. And I think anybody who's had AFib will know exactly what I'm talking about. You're just not comfortable ever. Hardly any sleep because of the discomfort. But again, not pain, just discomfort.
And so they treated you. They put you in the hospital. You were there 5 days, as you said. And in those 5 days, what did they do to you, for you?
They tried to electro, like with the paddles, get my heart back in sync, which a lot of times they told me, that's all it takes. And they did two of those, but neither one took. So I've been on, I'm on five different medications right now, and that is absolutely working. As a good side effect, I'm losing some weight.
Huh.
It looks like it can be cleared without surgery. There's still the possibility of like what's called an ablation down the road, but he doesn't think that's going to be necessary because I'm responding so well. I'm still in AFib, but it's a controlled AFib right now. And thankfully I can, go back to work, which obviously requires me to fly a lot because that is a big part of my job. But more than anything, just really, really glad to be as close to normal as I've been in weeks.
Do you have to give a shout out? I'm sure you do, to some doctors and nurses, right?
Well, Jim Del Giorno is my cardiologist, and thankfully we have a long history together. He used to live in our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
And so he's you know, he's a great doctor, but I think if you know someone personally, they're going to go just a little bit extra in explaining everything and calling. Like, he's been calling me to my cell and things like that, which I think he probably does that with all of his patients. But it's just good to know somebody that you've known for 20 years on my end, knowing that, okay, this is somebody that I know is really good. And, you know, he works out of Banner Baywood, and he's been fantastic.
When you would go to those dark places in your mind, or did you not go to those dark places in your mind?
A little here and there, only because, you know, it is the heart and you don't know a lot of times what's going to happen. So, yeah, I think it's normal to go to those dark places. It's not certainly not abnormal. And but thankfully, again, feeling so, so much better right now, Brad.
Good, good. What are you changing? And then I'll get off this and get to the baseball
team. Diet mostly, like low salt, if not no salt, because salt is a retainer of fluids. So that's something that you almost have to eliminate. That's not to say, you know, look, you can't eliminate 100%, but just very as little sodium as possible. And doing a lot of walking right now, because until today I wasn't cleared to go back to the gym. Okay. But he said you can, but just take it easy.
So if I wanted to come out and meet you in Ahwatukee and go walk and go walk South Mountain with you, we couldn't walk South Mountain today. You're not there yet.
No, I'm more flat walking right now. Okay. I can't go up Telegraph Hill yet.
Yeah, yeah. But you plan on going up Telegraph Hill?
Oh, I've been doing that for 20 years. So at some point, yes. Just not ready right this moment.
Hey, Eric, do you think you could do Telegraph Hill with Pedro and I? You know, you wouldn't... What do you think? 6 months from now, October, we'll do Telegraph. There's no way we're doing it in July.
Maybe sooner.
Yeah, well, good luck. You can do it on your own in July. Knock yourself out.
Well, no, I'm talking about either 5:30 in the morning or or 7 at, you know, in the evening.
You got it. Well, it's good to hear your voice and good to hear you laughing. And I was stunned.
Thanks, Brad.
It's great
to talk to you again.
Stunned when I heard it. All right, so Yadier Molina, Torrey Lovello. What did you see?
Well, I think you saw by Torrey's response how regretful he was in using the language that he used. I've known Torrey for years. That is really out of character from what I know. Mm-hmm. But in the heat of the moment, you know, emotions take over, and Torrey is an emotional guy under certain circumstances. And I think his emotions got the better of him in that moment, right at that point in time. But he, you know, he regretted it, no doubt about it. And, you know, Yadi was, I think, well within his rights to react the way he did. I mean, nobody should be called that particular term unless a knife is going to be pulled or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I'm curious, did you agree with the suspension of Molina? Like, I got it with Torrey, and my first response on Torrey was, well, I wasn't there, and I'm not the Vin Scully school of reading lips, right? So it had to have been the umpire, Tim Timmons, that said, this is what was said, so Torrey's gone. Were you surprised that Molina was given a game?
I was to a degree, because he was just kind of defending himself.
Yes,
but I don't
know
what precipitated that. And like, you know, look, all these umpires, whenever there's an ejection, and I know a lot of umpires, it's an extra 2 hours of work right after the game, because they have to talk to New York, they have to fill out a report. So, and I've known Tim Timmons for years, and I'm sure Tim wrote verbatim what went on. So maybe Yadi, look, Torrey's not going to come out and use that language just on his own. Yadi, I'm sure, did or said something, not to that degree, but that led to Torrey responding that way, which of course Torrey should never respond that way. And that's why they probably each got a game. But I was more surprised that Yadi got the game. Torrey could have gotten two or three games, actually.
The way the team has started, the Diamondbacks, does that surprise you?
It does to a degree. It's really, really good for them to get this type of confidence early on mm-hmm. in a season, knowing that it's tough for a young ball club to put together back-to-back seasons that are this impressive, especially a club that has not accomplished anything in the postseason. And I know they did beat the Rockies in the one-game playoff, but you know, then they were swept away three straight in three games that they were really never in against the Dodgers. So to see what they've done, even though it's, you know, less than 2 weeks in, is really, really impressive. And I think it's a testament to this ball, especially without Goldschmidt, by the way, until last night, obviously. But it's a testament to the belief within that clubhouse. And look, when Alex Avila signed with the D-backs, his first call before he agreed to sign was to J.D. Martinez, who he had been teammates with in Detroit for so many years. And he said, hey, look, the Diamondbacks are looking at me. They want to make me an offer. Tell me what you can about this ball club. And even though J.D. was here for only 2.5 months, he said, they're a really hungry club who want to win. It's a good spot for you. And then Alex said, that's it. I'm done. That's all I need. He knew that J.D. was not going to BS him
right.
and give him some false report. And J.D.'s glowing report of that clubhouse is why Alex Avila, I still always call him Avila because that's how you pronounce the name correctly. But I know it's been switched to Avila, but it's really Avila. If your mom goes by Avila, then your name is Avila.
I got it. Anything else that caught your eye while you were on the DL?
I think that the Nationals prematurely let go of Dusty Baker. Mm. That's not a knock on Davey Martinez. It's just this is a veteran club, and they may have some difficulties with a rookie manager who's never managed before at any level. And I think Dusty is going to be severely missed by that ball club. And it wouldn't surprise me if they struggle a lot or most of the season.
Wow. I thought you'd say Ohtani right off the top, but,
Ohtani has been a complete shock because he looked out. He looked like he didn't belong the entire spring.
Hmm.
And you're right. You're right about Ohtani. I thought you meant more ball club.
Yeah.
Wise, but yeah, on a personal level, without a doubt, Ohtani has jumped out of the gate on fire. Still 162 games, so we'll see.
Right.
And he is only 23, playing at the highest level. But boy, what he's done in the first 10 days or so has been nothing short of miraculous at this point.
Cy Young and MVP in the same year, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
In 10 days.
Probably
in 10
say
days. Yeah.
Neither, but
let's
he
see.
Has been very impressive.
All right. It's impressive to talk to you after being on the DL. Get better. I'm
no,
glad you sound
that.
Better, and I'll look for you. When are you back on TV? Where's your first assignment? Do you know?
Possibly this weekend, and it possibly could be Ohtani, but I'm still waiting to hear for sure.
All right. Stay well. See ya.
Okay. All right, man.
Here's Pedro Gomez. There's times where these people, and Pedro and I go all the way back to when he was in San Diego, and he was doing preps. The other prep writer, one of the other prep writers was a kid named Buster Olney. It's funny when people talk to me about getting in the business and they're like, oh, I'm preps, or college, I'm a pro guy. Check yourself at the door. You know, if you're not going to embrace your backyard, and Pedro just killed it there. And obviously we know his rise over at the Republic and then at ESPN. So it's good to hear his voice. And when Eric told me this, Pedro was going to join us, what, opening day, Eric? We were supposed to have him opening day.
Yeah, or the week of opening day.
And you knew there was something going on because he wasn't getting back to you, which is not Pedro-esque. And
sent him a couple texts and then got the text that, hey, I'm in the hospital. Sure. I've been having pretty severe heart issues. He was texting me from the hospital. He's like, I don't know when I'm going to get out, but I will keep you posted.
Yeah, put your phone down. Get out of the hospital.
Yeah, it was – I don't want to say it was touch and go, but it was, as he said, it was pretty serious. Like
yeah.
The heart, you don't mess around with your heart.
Yeah.
Heart and your brain.
You know,
big ones.
You know that he just called you out, by the way, on going to Telegraph Canyon.
Which is fine.
Have you ever done that hike?
No, but I've hiked everywhere else in the valley.
Yeah.
So it's
good
not,
luck.
Well, I've hiked Camelback, and the Camelback is the most difficult hike
you
in the valley.
You haven't been on Telegraph.
No, I haven't.
You just haven't. I'll be sick that day. My knees will be aching too much. You'll have to go do it with him. I wasn't going to tell him that on the air.
But. Okay.
All right. On the other side, so there's two quarterbacks that are in the news cycle today. One of them was at U of A. The other is probably the top transfer quarterback in the country this year to Michigan. And the story behind him is really a national dilemma. We'll get into that. And a little bit later, the story of Andre Ingram. I can't sit here and just pound away on the Suns. It's not worth my time or your time. I've already done that. The season's over. I wrote a letter to Robert. It's up on the website. You can check it out at sports360az.com. Back after this timeout. Sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports, our football show tonight. Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, with four airings, two before and two after, with the Diamondbacks game today, and they'll replay it tonight. And a couple of more airings tomorrow as well. There's some college football. Thursday or Friday night, Eric's going to the spring game. And if you're not, just tell me. But the last time we talked, you were. Eric's going to go to the spring game over at Arizona State. Saturday night, I'm going to go to Tucson.
And it's pretty cool, Brad, not to interrupt you, but I guess Herm Edwards said that fans and students will be calling plays at the spring game at ASU on Saturday.
Fans and students. So if they call...
I think it was one or the other. I think it's actually students that he said.
So do you think he has, what, a play sheet, like 1 through 10, call one of these 10 plays?
Probably.
It's not, hey, do this and do that and do this and do that. Like Todd, when they're doing it at the soccer stadium, right?
Yes, because Sun Devil Stadium is
still under construction.
It's still a construction zone.
Right, but
so.
they could do it in the bubble.
They could.
They could, but they want to put it outside. It'll be a nice night and all that. It'll
Hopefully.
Be fine.
Yeah.
So you're going to that. I'm going to U of A's spring game on Saturday. I'm going to Tucson. Tomorrow night, they're honoring Lute down in Tucson. They're putting a statue up for him. The college football scene. It's been a relatively quiet offseason in college football. If we think back on all the headlines, it's been the scandal on the basketball end of things, and then March Madness came and went. We had a terrific March Madness with Loyola and the storylines and the upsets and so on and so forth. All that stuff was great. Baltimore County and beyond. The biggest story in this offseason to me outside of Arizona, to me, is the quarterback at Michigan. Jim Harbaugh has done very little, if anything, at Michigan when it comes to beating the best, Michigan State and Ohio State. He hasn't done it. He's 1-6 against top 10 opponents. He's 1-5 against Ohio State and Michigan State. Jim Harbaugh has done nothing. If you're a Wolverine fan, you've got to win those games, right? So a quarterback comes available for Jim Harbaugh, and it's Shea Patterson. Shea Patterson at Ole Miss. And Shea Patterson is in the midst of trying to get cleared by the NCAA. Trying to get cleared by the NCAA, it's not easy. These brain surgeons want to pick through everything. Shea Patterson, he's good, right, Eric? I mean, you take him on your team, right?
Oh, he's very good. He's really, I mean, this really, is a, really this, talented. Like, he could be an NFL quarterback. He's that good.
This is a big pickup for Harbaugh.
Yes. It's about 6'4", 215 pounds.
So here's the heart of the dispute. Patterson is the way Patterson characterized the environment at Ole Miss in February 2016 when he committed to a program that was downplaying both privately and publicly the severity of NCAA violations. So he's been told, hey, look, come here. That's really not that bad. It's not that big a deal. This was all done by head coach Hugh Freeze, who's no longer there. The dispute over semantics and just how misled Patterson believes he was at the time. So Ole Miss, they're trying to block the former star quarterback's request to play elsewhere sooner than later. So it seems to me that usually programs say, hey, look, if you're going to go from Ole Miss to, let's say, Mississippi State, not happening. We're not going to allow that. In fact, there's usually a one-year ban. You can't sit out, or 2 years if you try to transfer within programs within a conference. Michigan is in this space where... we need to get him out here. I'm Jim Harbaugh, and I've done nothing against Michigan State and Ohio State. And if I don't have Shea Patterson, then I really have done nothing. The whole idea of khakis and Harbaugh's antics when he goes out and recruits, all that stuff is fun, when you're able to win, but when you lose repeatedly to your arch rival or the big school out of state, and that happens repeatedly, nobody's going to be amused. Nobody. And so Patterson has 2 years of eligibility. It's the other part of this. That's a lot to help out the situation. All of a sudden, Michigan's like, wow, we got this stud quarterback. So he's waiting on that. There's that quarterback story. U of A. So this is where it was with Rich Rod. Rich Rod had Brandon Dawkins as his quarterback. Khalil Tate's over on the sidelines. Khalil Tate's not doing anything. And Brandon Dawkins gets hurt, an out-of-bounds play gets hurt, a late hit. And I think we all know what happened with Khalil Tate after that. He took off. He finished in the Heisman Trophy race. Is going to be one of the top quarterbacks for the Heisman Trophy this coming season. But if Dawkins doesn't get hurt on an illegal hit out of bounds, Khalil Tate may still be holding his helmet. That's how narrow it is when it comes to the game of football or sports in general. You just have to seize the moment. And Khalil Tate did. So Brandon Dawkins not going to go back to U of A. Brandon Dawkins decides to transfer to the Big Ten. Brandon Dawkins has enrolled at Indiana. He went out there and surveyed the landscape. The last U of A quarterback to get out of town was Anu Solomon. He surveyed the landscape and went to Baylor. Baylor, right? It was Baylor, yeah. And so now Brandon Dawkins is going to Indiana. And Brandon Dawkins, I think, is a pretty good quarterback in the sense of drop back throw, right? Now, he ran for yards. And at Indiana, they did not run the football much. They didn't play much on the offensive side of the football in the way of putting points on the board. And they gave up a lot of points. So I think he's going to a pretty good situation. But this week, spring football finishes up with ASU on Friday and U of A on Saturday. And I think NAU is next week. And you can check out all that content up on our website at sports360az.com. On the other side, some basketball news to get to. The story of the night in sports was Andre Ingram. I'll explain why on that front, plus what to look forward to with the Suns. The Suns got clowned on last night in a big way. And actually, Dallas did too. Two of the worst teams in the NBA, and social media had a field day on them. We'll have that next. Talk to the Lopes comes up in about 10 minutes. Every Wednesday, we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. This week, we'll have GCU Women's Volleyball Head Coach Tim Nolan on. And we're going to do a deep dive with him on recruiting. People think it's really easy to get recruited on the, in the sport of volleyball. It's not. I've had two daughters that have gone through the process. It's not. So we'll talk about that. On the basketball front, mercifully, thankfully, the Sun season came to an end last night. They actually won. They won by a lot. They played Dallas. Dallas isn't any good. The Suns aren't any good. You don't need to know the final scores. Two teams were going absolutely nowhere. But social media had some fun. This is Darren Revelle, Eric. Darren Revelle decided to...
Yeah, so Darren Revelle tweeted... I'm a sports reporter. I haven't heard of 7 of the 10 starters in the Mavs-Suns game tonight. And I believe we have the graphic of the starting 5 for each team for last night's season finale.
Do we have it?
In Dallas.
Edwin, do we have it? Yeah, there it is.
Okay, so let's go over some of these names.
Yeah.
Let's see. Aaron Harrison, I have not heard of. I have heard of Kyle Collinsworth only because I follow Mountain West basketball.
It's not Chris Collinsworth.
I don't believe so. Dorian Finney-Smith, I'm somewhat familiar with. Jonathan Motley went to Baylor. I know of him, and I believe Dwight Powell played at Stanford. And then you go down to the Suns.
Yeah. Who did our hometown hero start last
let's
night?
Let's see. Shaq Harrison. Who spent most of the time in the G League.
Not Shaq O'Neal.
Davon Reed, rookie from Miami.
Davon Reed. Okay.
Who hasn't seen much time this
Davon
year.
Davon Reed.
Daniel House. Not Eddie House, but Daniel House.
Daniel
and
House.
Then,
Casa House.
And then Dragan Bender and Alex Len. So those are the 10 starters that that started last night in Dallas. And that, that you know, if you're paying money... Like, if you're a Maverick season ticket holder and they do the starting lineups and that is, you know, that those are the 10, it's only a fitting way for two of the worst teams in the NBA to end their season.
I can see that poor public address announcer. Hey, Coach, can you tell me how to pronounce this name? Here's a little behind the scenes. So, public address announcer at the Suns typically walks into the coach's room. And says, you know, who are you starting? And Is there any pronunciation stuff? And then they go down the hall. So I can just imagine what that was like.
Shaq Harrison, Davon Reed, Daniel House, Dragan Bender,
no!
Alex Len.
For your Dallas Mavericks!
A far cry from Sean Marion, Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, Kurt Thomas, fill in the blanks for whoever else started during those times for 7 seconds.
Davon Reed!
But...
oh, my gosh. What? I mean, that's just dreadful.
But the good news is the Suns still had the worst record in the NBA, and they won two games in the month of April. So congrats.
So we're going to hear some nonsense about how they're going to build on their momentum. Shut up. Get out of here. Now, have you seen the stuff coming out of the Suns' Twitter feed this morning, like in the last 15 minutes?
No. So I do follow them, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Ryan McDonough is he's doing the post, you know, the season's over.
Right, today's clean out the locker day.
Clean out the locker day, and they've got... So one of Ryan's quotes is, next year we're going to try to raise the bar. We're going to raise our standards. What did you... We're going to raise our standards.
You had the worst record in the NBA.
What do you mean you're going to raise your standards? What have you been doing the last 8 years? Or as long... Ryan, what have you been doing? We're going to try to raise the bar. Not we are going to raise the bar. We're going to try to raise the bar. We're going to try to make a better burger. Let's see. What else did he say? If there are multiple players we want to bring in, I think we'll have the ability to easily do so with the way our contracts are structured. Okay, we've heard that. That's been a narrative. More Ryan quote, I think we have the opportunity to make rapid improvement. Well, go, let's just fill you in on this. Any improvements rapid? I think we have the opportunity to make rapid improvement for the next year or two. The next year or two. We're going to add talent and veteran talent. Guys, can I have a little bit of charisma? This was completely unacceptable. All this is completely unacceptable. I'm surprised I'm even here talking to you guys. Robert hasn't fired my ass yet. And it's not going to happen again. This is the last time I'm in front of you guys. I am renting. I am not owning. Give me some charisma.
And they really should take down those Suns at 50 backdrop banners.
Gosh,
like, let's just get rid of those. No one wants to remember the 50th season of the Suns.
When you put next year, we're going to try to raise the bar. We're going to raise our standards. What possibly? I mean, what is it you're telling your season ticket holders, the few that are remaining, and the people that are your sponsors? We're going to try? What is this? What has happened here? You know, I'm not expecting Robert to be out there today. It's way beyond that. I expected him months and months ago to apologize for this stuff. It's just so befuddling. And the thing is, there's some people that actually are going to say, well, this is really good stuff. We're going to see these sound bites tonight that they're going to put on their 5 and 6 o'clock shows. And it's just going to be the Suns had a tough season and they're going to show them carrying their bags out. And you're going to have some sound bites from guys saying, it's tough, man. It's really tough. It's been tough. It's been tough. We're going to figure it out. We stuck together as a team. We lived as a team. We died as a team. The timeline, all that crap. And then they're going to put Ryan saying, you know, we're going to get better next year and we have all these assets. And just some of the early quotes that are coming out. I would like to see Robert Sarver with a sledgehammer. It's maybe that 50-year anniversary thing, Eric, and just destroy it. All right. On to better news. And there is better news. Andre Ingram, when you go to lunch today, or if you're consuming this afternoon or tonight, and you haven't heard of Andre Ingram, it's really a discussion you should have with your guys over lunch. If you're having lunch and you're talking sports, or tonight you're talking sports, Andre Ingram is what is good. You want to talk to your kids. I'm going to talk to my son about this guy tonight. So Andre Ingram had played 384 minor league games. He played for the South Bay Lakers. Andre Ingram is 32 years of age. Magic Johnson, earlier this week in the Lakers front office, brought him in and said, we're promoting you, finally. He thought it was the end of the season and that, you know, they're going to get rid of him or whatever. I saw the video the Lakers put up yesterday. It was terrific. They're doing, yeah, you've had a good year. You've been a good teammate. You've been this, you've been that. And Magic walks in. They said, yeah, we're making you active. So last night, Andre Ingram plays first game after toiling for 384 minor league games. He goes 6 of 8 from the floor, 19 points. Our guy Kevin Harlan, Eric, called the game last night. He was going crazy on this one. 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 blocks. Andre Ingram has a degree in physics from American University. And he stuck with it. And he chased his dream. And it doesn't matter that the Lakers aren't going to the postseason. He did it against the Houston Rockets with Chris Paul out on the floor. It wasn't like they were just playing a bunch of dudes. It was not Eric Sorensen and Brad Sussmat toiling around out there. And that's the story of the day in sports, by far. Good for him. This is stuff. There needs to be more of. Maybe that's what sports needs, is the guy that has toiled and been away from the game for so many years and is able to come back and still be productive. At 32 years of age, he could just go to be in a Y league or a church league or, you know, a street ball league or whatever. But good for him. That is awesome. That is awesome. All right, up next, talk to the Lopes. We'll have Tim Nolan with us every week. We talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now for Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. Welcome back, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Spotlight this week on Talk to the Lopes on GCU Women's Volleyball. Tim Nolan is with us, the head coach. If I remember correctly, he was our very first Talk to the Lopes guest. That was during the regular season on the women's volleyball side. They're in spring volleyball now. Coach, thanks for being with us. How are things going this spring?
Things are going great. You know, we're wrapping up spring season actually today with our last competition of the spring. And we put some new things in the fold, and we're excited to see how they play out today.
How do you go about spring volleyball? What do you want to accomplish?
You know, every spring you kind of sit down after the season of the fall's over and talk with the staff about who you have returning, what you have coming in, and what areas of the game you really want to work on. You don't have a lot of time with the NC2A hour limitations. You kind of pick one or two skills that you really want to invest in.
Mm-hmm.
For us this spring, it was serving was our biggest one, and then point scoring.
And this comes off of a season in which you battled towards the end. I think I read you took it to the final weekend of conference play, looking at the WAC tournament, trying to get through that, and it didn't go your way last season. Is that what you took from watching last year? You've got to get better in that area?
Correct. You know, in the fall, we went to that last weekend where we had ourselves in a position that we had a chance to get in the tournament and make a little run. And, you know, when you look back over the body of work of the season, is we had difficulty scoring points.
Mm.
You know, two of our top 3 point scorers are both freshmen. So, you know, we knew that coming into the year just based on the roster and some of the injuries we had and things like that. And with that, we knew recruiting-wise for this coming fall that we had to recruit point scorers, and we were able to go out and do that.
That's a good message to send to people then, sitting in the houses and saying, I need point scorers. You got to come here, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every coach in the country is looking for point scorers, I can tell you that.
So how do you go about that from a recruiting standpoint then? I mean, are you looking at certain players in the cycle? Is the word out, hey, GCU is looking for certain people? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, you use your network and your contacts in the club volleyball circuit and the high school circuit, and you just say, hey, look, we're looking for an elite point scorers. We're looking for kids that do this skill set well kind of in this system. And the word got out, and we had a lot of people get back to us with interest and lots of kids writing us and sending us video. And, you know, we do our due diligence and go out and really evaluate all those kids and watch as much as we can. And we were able to put together a class that we're really, really proud of. You know, we're going to have 6 newcomers coming in. We're waiting for one more to sign, hopefully today.
Mm.
But we were able to put together some really elite point scores. And then we get another kid back who was sat out the last 2 years injured in Kyra Moss, who's been with us but hasn't been able to play because of a shoulder injury. And she's had a great spring. You know, she has really asserted herself and been an incredible point scorer for us this spring. So we're really pleased with her development and looking forward to adding some depth in the point scoring with a big class coming in.
Tim Nolan is with us. Talk to the Lopes. Every week we talk Grand Canyon University Athletics. This week talking about GCU women's volleyball. Let me go back for a minute and maybe do a deep dive, Tim, if you could, to help parents and those that want to be in the volleyball recruiting circuit out somewhat. I've done baseball recruitment. I've done soccer recruitment with my own daughter. I've done football recruitment. How do you go about the volleyball recruitment? You mentioned earlier people sending you the DVDs and that. How do you go about the process of parents sending you or people sending you information? How much do you get per day? And what is it you're really looking for?
You know, that's a great question. The best way to get us the content, first of all, is email. You can either email myself directly or my recruiting coordinator, Ari Smith. Our contact info is on the GCU Lopes website. And the best way to get the film is you put together a 90-second highlight film, you upload it on YouTube, you make a private account, it's all free, and then you can email that link to whatever coaches or whoever you want, for that matter. That's the best way to get the film out there. The biggest advice I can give parents is you don't want to send a 20-minute video.
Yeah.
I get about 150 to 200 emails a day from recruits, so if you do the math and you're sending me a 20-30-minute video, it's not going to work. Not enough hours in the day. You know, 2 to 3 minutes is all you really want. It can be a practice session. It doesn't have to be a live game. It can be warm-ups for a game. That's some of the best time for coaches to watch because they get to see, you know, your daughter performing the skills in a controlled setting. So hopefully you can see some of the, you know, higher-end potential in those contacts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we get all that, we evaluate it. We look at positionally what we need, and then we make sure we get out and we see those kids in person. You know, the recruit video, when you send it out, your goal is not to get a scholarship offer with it. Your goal is to get that coach or coaches to come and watch your daughter play live. If you get them to the court live, then, you know, the chips are going to fall where they fall, but you've done what you can really do.
Do you have to have do you have to have the tape be of club volleyball or high school volleyball? I've always heard club. What's your view on that?
It doesn't really matter, to be honest. To me, club, obviously, there's more opportunities because kids play club for about 6 months a year. They play high school for about 3 months a year. It's easier to see them during the club season for sure because we're not in season. That's our spring. So we are, you know, that's our big recruiting portion of the year. It's very hard to get out and see a lot of high school matches. We'll always try and make it to some local Arizona matches. You know, we want to own the state of Arizona when it comes to recruiting. So we'll always try and sneak out to a couple local ones during the year that's in our backyard and a couple of the big tournaments and things like that. But nationally, it's very hard to get out and watch high school matches because it's the same time of year as we're playing and preparing our team to win and go to the conference tournament and try and win the conference tournament and go to the NC2A tournament. So, you know, I would suggest it doesn't really matter if it's a high school video or a club video. It's you want to show the skills. You want to show, you know, 25, 30 seconds of attacking, 25, 30 seconds of passing and serving. You know, if you're a setter, maybe you want to show 30 seconds of setting and 30 seconds of serving. And that's about all you need as that first introductory. You know, make sure you get all the good details in the email, your graduation class, what you graduate high school, your position, you know, some of your interests so the coach might get to know you, and hopefully your schedule for club volleyball, so that they have opportunities to come and see you.
Does it matter, and I've had daughters that have done club volleyball, so I'm asking a question that may be too much of a deep dive, but I think it's important for people to know. If your daughter is over 6 feet tall, you know that there's probably going to be somebody who's interested just purely on size, but if they're a libero, it's a completely different deal, right? So if they're with a certain club, do they have to be with certain clubs to get more exposure? Do you buy into that? Because some people tell me, if I'm not with this club, I'm not going to get the attention.
Yes and no. You know, everyone's recruiting story is going to be a little different and their mm-hmm. journey is going to be a little different. I think it's important to play. If you're going to play club, you want to play with a club that's going to put you in national tournaments and expose you nationally. But I'm not a big proponent of, oh, you have to play. This is the only club that you can play for and be good. I don't believe in that. You know, we have a kid coming down the pipe in a couple of years who, you know, is from a very remote location and plays for a club that is not, you know, nationally known and things like that. And that doesn't matter. You know, we're taking the athlete and the potential and that sort of stuff. And then we have kids
coming to us this fall that play for some of the best clubs in the country and you know, win gold medals and Junior Olympics and things like that. So to me, recruiting, it's an art. It's not a science. Everyone's going to see it a little bit differently. You know, what I see is Picasso. Someone else might think is, you know, a kindergarten scribble. So for me, the important thing is you want them to play for a club where they're going to train often. You want them to play for a club where they're going to get to play against quality competition. And you want them to play for a club, to me, you want to play for the same club throughout your career. Mm-hmm. Loyalty, to me, is a really big character trait that we really embrace here. So the kid that jumps from club to club to club to club looking for a better situation or looking to be, quote-unquote, on that ones team versus a twos team or guaranteed to start or this or that, those aren't always the best fit for us. We want a kid who finds a good spot, and, you know, it might not be your first club. Maybe it takes you two or whatever, but once you find it, we want you to play there and keep coming back and, you know, embrace the training and work hard.
That's good stuff there. You have a new assistant coach, it says here in my notes, right, Emily?
I do. Emily Witzman, yeah, we're really excited to have her join the staff. She comes to us from Upper Iowa, where she was the first assistant there, and then before that she was the graduate assistant at Heidelberg University. And she played at UMBC, which now everyone has heard of,
yeah,
after the
sure.
NCAA basketball tournament, but not many had heard of it before.
Yeah.
But she's a great addition for us. She's going to work with our middle blockers a lot. She was a middle blocker in college, very, very skilled attacker, especially off 1 foot. So she's actually had a huge role in helping Kyra develop this spring, able to teach her some of the nuances of the game, of playing the same position and things like that.
Hey, I really enjoyed the visit, especially the deep dive, because I get questions about recruiting all the time. And it's just, look, make sure the GPA is at a number above 3 and make sure your test scores are this or that. And then you just got to be able to play. It's pretty simple across the board, I think. But you may have something else to add to that.
No, you know, I think academics are huge for us here. You know, we Grand Canyon is a very prestigious school. It has great honors college, so I think you got to do that. You got to be able to play. I think the volleyball is probably the easy part of the whole equation.
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's, you know, we're looking for some of the intangibles, you know, work ethic and character and things like that. So I think being well-rounded is a big deal, and I think making people around you better is a really big deal. If I watch you, I want to see how you are when you're not in the game, or how you act or display, you know, court characteristics when you're having maybe not your best game. You know, do you fold up the tent? Do you let people try and help you? Do you try and help others? You know, what is that like?
That's good stuff. Thanks, Tim, for the visit.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That's Talk to the Lopes this week. Tim Nolan, GCU women's volleyball coach. Talk to the Lopes, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat.